They better get season tickets right now, because before long, they probably won't be able to.
It's all about the Badgers.
Don't flinch. The greatest coach in Wisconsin history is on the air.
It's over. The Wisconsin Badgers win 17-9. They are the first Big Ten team ever to win successive Rose Bowl games.
Live from Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, this is the Barry Alvarez Show on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
What are your emotions right now?
Just like the old days.
Alongside Rose Bowl champions Derek Engler and Tarek Salah, here's Jesse Nelson.
The season finale of the Barry Alvarez Show on 100.5 ESPN Madison, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel. Live from Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Middleton for one final time for the 2025 college football season. Alongside the Rose Bowl champions, Derek Engler and Tarek Salah. We're going to have to squeeze again this week, fellas. I don't know how we keep ending up in this position. Alongside those two knuckleheads and alongside the Wisconsin Badgers legend, former director of athletics and, of course, head football coach Barry Alvarez joining us remotely. My name is Jesse Nelson. This is the Barry Alvarez Show on ESPN Madison. Guys, our season finale. Feels like just yesterday we were getting set in August, looking ahead to the Wisconsin football season and the college football season as a whole. And here we are, crowning, as everyone expected, the Indiana Hoosiers, undefeated 16-0 national champions last night over the Miami Hurricanes in a thrilling 27-21 victory. Let's talk a little bit about last night's game and the national championship run for Indiana. Coach, let's start with you, because I think your perspective on this will be super interesting to hear. We've lauded how amazing the turnaround has been for Kurt Cignetti and the Indiana Hoosiers all season long, even going back to last year. But now that it's complete, and seeing how they celebrated last night with the Heisman Trophy winner, with wins over Ohio State and Alabama and Miami and Oregon en route to the championship, this was truly a remarkable run for the Indiana Hoosiers.
What a great job he's done. You know, Indiana is not known. It's a basketball school. Now we can say it's a football school. And for him to go in, you know, I coached at Notre Dame, so I coached in the state. You know, you maybe have a handful of Division I players in the state. So consequently, he's got to go out of state, recruit, identify, and then convince players to get there. And it's not been an easy task for football coaches in Indiana. But for him to do what he did, to win a national championship in football at Indiana is just a I'm speechless to explain how difficult that job is. In a basketball community, basketball state, not a lot of football players in that state, to win a national championship is unbelievable.
And it wasn't like they snuck into the field, guys, as one of the lowest seeds who happened to kind of play their way in at the end. Like, they were the number one seed. They beat Ohio State head-to-head in the Big Ten championship game, yeah. And they'd never trailed. in the college football playoff. 145 minutes they played with the lead. They never trailed in all of their playoff games.
Obliterated Alabama and Oregon. Obliterated.
Just, it wasn't even close.
Yeah.
Yeah. No question.
A remarkable run for Kurt Cignetti and the Hoosiers.
You know, the culture that he built is special, and it reminds us a lot of what Coach Alvarez built when we went on our run in the 90s. And it's special. And they you know, it's just a great group there.
Well, Coach commented on this and how difficult it is, especially at a school with nothing but a losing tradition in football. I saw some stat that they were 126 out of 130, whatever, two schools winning percentage-wise and going back, like, decades.
When Cignetti took over last year, they were the losingest program in college football history.
Do that in such short order. But also, what's most impressive to me is to do it during an era of transfer portal, but yet still have the evaluation to really understand character, right? And not necessarily, it's not money first. We're not going to go chase stars and shiny objects. We're going to really evaluate to the best we can, does this kid want to work and play football? And that's the group they had. I've never seen a more cohesive team in a long time. And to do it in, like I said, this era with transfer portal NIL, I mean, that's amazing. Yeah. This is a sports story of lore, I don't care what sport it is. I mean, it's amazing. I was really happy for Cignetti and Indiana University and all their fans.
Well said, Derek. And you know what? He wasn't out there flashing a lot of money around. You know, we've been through some of the programs where guys are going out and buying a lot of players. Naturally, in this day and age, players are going to get some money. But it wasn't like he was out buying players and them coming to Indiana because he paid them more money. I think it was more him getting players, solid players, and him developing players and doing a great coaching job to get in that position and to win a national championship. Because I'll guarantee you, he didn't have better players than the teams he played down the stretch. That guy outcoached him. And that's what was impressive.
No doubt. And, you know, Mark Cuban was their big supporter. Mm. If you follow Mark Cuban, he's a value guy. He's not going to go spend money, to Coach's point, and just go, hey, whatever, we're going to buy people. You know, first of all, Coach Cignetti sold him to be a supporter, and then his strategy was to buy value, culture, and build the right type of guys that fit in the program. And, you know, Mark Cuban alluded to that before the game.
Well,
he was like,
Cuban believed in Cignetti, number one, and that he would find the right guys and coach them up. You know, to Coach's point, what a job. What a job to develop, create that continuity with really a lot of new faces, new teammates, but have core guys, understand what it takes. And it all starts with that quarterback. Is there more of a team player, hard-ass, tough-minded, you name it, get hit in the chin, bloody the lip, I'm going back out there. I get knocked out in I think it was Ohio State, Big Ten Championship. Mm-hmm. One or two plays later, he's back on the field. That's the guy. That's a dude.
How about that fourth down run that he had last night for the touchdown?
Oh, yeah.
That was
amazing.
Incredible. Incredible touchdown run for Mendoza. And let's not act like
Tarik and I were fortunate enough to play with a guy with the same type of physicality, mental toughness, so on. It just not the talent. I love you, Mike Samuel.
No, wait a minute. I would say Bevel was equally talented as Mendoza. Same type speed, 5'4 to 40 probably. You know, weak arm. but a good leader and knew where to go with the ball and knew how to win. Yeah, I put them very comparable.
I agree with you. I agree with you, Coach. As far as all those, you know, all those.
Were you thinking about Sammy?
I was thinking about Sammy, Mike Samuel. Yeah,
well, that's a different story.
Before there was
suffering everybody on that field.
But
Oh, I absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I guarantee you there's no other show in America today comparing Francisco Mendoza to Mike Samuel and Daryl Bevel in the first few minutes of its show. The Barry Alvarez show on ESPN Madison. That's why we need a six-month hiatus coming up here after tonight. So anyway, let's not pretend like Indiana didn't spend any money this year. Like, Mendoza was one of the most coveted players in the transfer portal during the offseason. They did spend money to go out and get him to improve a team, but remember, they didn't.
Your money on a Heisman Trophy winner.
Yes, but and it's also not like Cuban was lining up ready to spend the money last year, which is another part of this story. Cignetti comes in, and in the first year, instantly snaps his fingers, and Indiana's a playoff team last year on the road at Notre Dame playing a tough first-round game. That was an incredible run. They've lost one game outside of the playoff, one game in two regular seasons that he's been the head coach there. It was to Ohio State.
But he's not bringing – I mean, these are guys – you know, they brought James Madison.
Bunch of transfers from James.
You know, you had seven four-star guys.
Yeah.
Every other team's got 50.
Well, Tarek says James Madison should be in Division III. Remember, they shouldn't be anywhere near the playoff.
Well, no, they just need their own. They have their own playoff.
I think we should all take our hats off to the job that Coach Cignetti has done.
Yeah.
You can talk about the transfers. You can talk about anything else. There's nothing else to do but take your hat off and give credit to a guy that's done it. Phenomenal job, maybe one of the greatest coaching jobs since I've been in college coaching. Indiana.
You know what? That's hard to
think
argue.
About that.
Yeah,
think about that.
Yeah,
to win the national and to win game to go win it, not be voted in. They won it, and so that means your guys are matching up with the other cats, and. Couldn't be more impressed with a job that someone's done at that team.
They didn't back away, Coach, from their identity. Despite Miami, man, they had one mission, and that was to hit Mendoza. We don't care if we're taking penalties. They got lucky because the flags, they let him play. You know, and, I mean, the kid got hit. I mean, that he could have been injected because that was the targeting right to the chin after, I mean, all of that.
No, I didn't think it was to the chin. I thought it was shoulder to shoulder.
Well, they should add you in there as the rules analyst last night on the ESPN.
Well,
broadcast.
Either way, Miami was they did a hell of a job. Miami this year,
they did.
They were physical.
Yeah,
they were very.
And Indiana didn't. I mean, they just said, you know what, we're still going to pound the rock. They didn't. I mean, even though those guys inside too were. I mean, they were beasts. You know, and they were making plays too, but they kept pounding it. They stayed true to who they were all season.
Miami obviously had more money. Go ahead, Coach.
Well said, Derek. And that's what I think some people, when you watch championship games, some people all of a sudden think they have to get – a coach has to do something special when they get to the championship game to win that game. And you just said it best. Both of those teams stayed with what got them there. And the best team won because they did it better. And that was impressive to me. Because you see a lot of teams change what they want to emphasize. They want to get slick. And coaches want to be smarter than the other guy when you get to championship games or championship week or the Final Four. And a lot of times it blows up in your face.
And discipline is a reflection of the head coach too, right? Discipline is a big, big factor in that. Miami was one of the most penalized teams in college football. Indiana, one of the least.
And Derek,
those penalties cost Miami.
Mm-hmm. Coach Derek, I think you'll agree with me. The common denominator in these teams is that offensive line. Coach Cristobal, he was an offensive lineman. So he emphasized that Miami always has a lot of skill, right? But what change that culture there is having that offensive line that's going to be physical, dominate. And just like what Bob Bostad at Indiana, you know, the way they built from that inside out, I think that's the recipe for success is building that offensive line and getting after it.
Yeah, I agree. That's well said, Tarkus, and a good point about Cristobal being an O-line coach and what he emphasizes. you know, if you're a head coach as a lineman, they're going to emphasize toughness. You know, you're going to a head coach as a quarterback, they're going to try to out-finesse you. That's just kind of the history of the business. If you got
a coach who's a former linebacker, then you're a bunch of badasses. Are just going to hit you in the mouth, right, Coach?
I'd agree with that. You want to start with that. You would like to start with that.
Yeah.
Your opponent knows that they're going to get butted in the face.
The way that game turned out, I mean, that's a reflection of these two coaches, right? Their identity. Mm-hmm. And you got Jason Taylor coaching up the D-line on Miami. You know, we know what they're about. You know, we know they got two first-rounders, you know, hunting down the quarterback there. You got Cignetti, and you got their offensive line, and they're going to stick to what I said. They're going to stick to what they do. We're going to pound the rock. We're going to set up the pass because we got a quarterback to deliver it. And he can make plays with his legs. Like, Coach, he's not that fast, you know. I mean, but he's an athlete and he's tough. And it just was a great, great national championship for a college football game.
That was one of the best ones in a long time, I thought, last night. Indiana wins it, and they finish off a perfect season 16-0 to become national champions. First time they win a football national title in program history. Congratulations to the Indiana Hoosiers, and three straight for the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Ohio State, SEC? Michigan, Indiana.
They're on an even playing field now.
Uh-huh.
They're on an even playing field now. Welcome to fairness.
The NIL and the transfer portal does a wonderful thing for balancing out everything across the country, it would appear. So congratulations to Indiana on winning the national title last night. The turnaround for Indiana, obviously, it hits home for us here at Wisconsin because we want to see the Badgers turn things around here with Luke Fickell coming into next season. We will bookend our finale here of the Barry Alvarez Show this season by looking back and also looking ahead. One thought on looking back on the Badger season and one thought looking ahead for the 2026 Wisconsin Badgers football program. We'll do that coming up live from Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Middleton. It's the Barry Alvarez Show on ESPN Madison. Barry Alvarez Show on ESPN Madison at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Middleton alongside Rose Bowl champions Tarek Saleh and Derek Engler and, of course, the legend Barry Alvarez. My name is Jesse Nelson. You guys enjoying our royalty-free music that we are playing now as we come back from our commercial break?
Oh, I love it. I don't know who's doing that music. I love it.
That's producer Riley out back at the Everlight Solar Studio as he's been all season long. We appreciate Riley.
We'll give you a lot of love, Riley.
Shout out to Riley being part of the ride here all season long with us here on the Barry Alvarez Show. We're at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Middleton. Come on out, sizzle, swizzle, and swirl. Happy hour going on every night here at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Middleton. Perfect for a date night or any occasion. Just because we won't be here on Mondays and Tuesdays throughout the course of the season doesn't mean you shouldn't be. Come on out. Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Middleton. Have a drink here in Coach's Room where we've been most weeks this season. The Horseshoe Bar is fantastic. Of course, great dining area as well. Lee and the whole team here, they are fantastic at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Middleton. We appreciate their hospitality all season long over the last 6 months.
Amen, 100%. I was telling Lee, walking in here, it's just really inviting, and you just want to, you know, sit down and have a cocktail and obviously enjoy the food. It's great, great atmosphere, great place, good stuff.
Barry Alvarez Show here on ESPN Madison. So let's reflect now as the college football season has come to a close on the Wisconsin Badgers, both one thought looking back and one thought looking ahead. So the transfer portal, the Badgers obviously very active. We've covered that pretty well and extensively over the last couple of weeks. It seems like with the season ending with a couple of victories and field stormings at Camp Randall Stadium, then that loss to Minnesota kind of soured everybody after building some positive momentum. But in the portal, Seems like momentum is starting to pick up again. Feels like the vibe is getting better for Badgers fans looking ahead at 2026 with a more reasonable schedule to try and navigate. So, guys, let's start with you, Tarek, then Derek.
Okay.
One thought before we look ahead for one Badger football.
One thought or one word?
Well, you can do one word or one thought, whatever's easier for you guys.
All right.
I like the exercise of one word, but I understand it's a little more nuanced than that sometimes when it comes to Wisconsin football. One thought looking back on the Wisconsin football season.
Well, I'm going to go with half glass full here. And when we came back and we beat Washington and we beat Illinois, and then we tried to, Minnesota fell off, but I like the way they came back and they fought through adversity. So I was really excited about that and, optimistic. But then right now, looking forward, my thoughts going forward, I worry about culture and I worry about building that offensive line. And if we could do that, they made some really good additions, right? Guys that you think could be players. If this new coach could come in and bring this new offensive line and recreate that identity again of being physical, just like we saw in Indiana and Miami and other teams that emphasize the offensive line, that's who we are. That's how we do things. I'm confident that our defense could recover and we're going to play good defense. The question is, can we be a great offensive line, build around that, and move forward and get back to what we're all about? D-Rod?
Yeah, my one word would just be disappointed. I don't think that's – I mean, pretty much for everyone would probably say the same thing, obviously.
Looking back.
Looking back, yeah. I think despite the schedule, you drop that horrific loss to Maryland, who I don't know if they won another game after us. To lose to your rivals like Iowa and get blanked by Iowa by 37 points. Iowa doesn't score 37 points in three games sometimes. So, it literally that and then Minnesota, the Axe, that's really disappointing. You flip just two of those games and, at least we're bowl eligible, right? I understand the schedule. They played Michigan tough on the road, but that was a down Michigan team this year. In your third year as a head coach, you expected more. Obviously, the Longo experiment that brought things back. I just thought we would see more, and especially in the games I mentioned. So it is disappointing to me. That being said, well, we haven't gone to the looking forward yet.
Yeah, let's hold off on looking forward. First,
shoot.
Yeah,
I skipped.
You skipped the line. That's okay. We appreciate your efforts anyway.
Sorry about that.
Coach, if we said one thought looking back on the 2025 Wisconsin football season, what would your one thought be?
Yeah, I think Derek hit it right on the nose. I couldn't – what I would have said he already covered it. It was disappointing, particularly when you play rivals and you're not really as competitive as you should be. Sometimes I wonder if this current group understands the rivalries that have been established over years, not with me, but
decades
before me. I had to learn that. That Minnesota was a big rivalry and there's more put into the game. I learned from Jim Huber, who was a coach at Minnesota, who I ended up hiring, and he told me, Coach, do you know what they put into that game coming in to play Wisconsin? I had no clue. I just took them as another game. But all of a sudden you realize that some of these games are special and you have to put more into it. And so I hope this staff understands that, and maybe no one has informed them of that. And I'm hoping maybe by us saying this right now that they can get that message.
Yeah, it'd be nicer to see them perform well in those games that feel like they have a little extra emphasis next season, Iowa and Minnesota and the like. Now, they did beat Brett Bielema in Illinois in home on senior night and stormed the field afterward, and that was the penultimate game of the season. And that's where things were really starting to feel good. That was, two wins over Washington and Illinois that were really good top 25 opponents coming to Madison. Those were big wins down the stretch of the season. It did get a little, bittered, I guess, by the loss and the performance against Minnesota on the road to close out the season. but you felt good about those victories at the time. And so that felt like there was positive momentum, and now we head into the offseason. We see the portal, and the team's been active, and it seems like they're identifying positions of need and players of that they're desiring to bring in that are coming in, including Colton Joseph, the quarterback, transferring in from Old Dominion. So, guys, one thought now looking forward. Tarek,
I have more than one thought.
Yeah.
No, this is the second one.
Oh, a second thought. Okay, yes. Tarek gets a second thought. Yeah. Then, Derek, coach, you get to share your first thought.
Pretty
I guess,
smart huh? guy. Yeah. No, I think – I think going back to you know, getting these guys to come together uh-huh. and play as a team is going to be it's a struggle, right? And this is a whole new world now. Now, you know, they basically brought in 27 guys, and you got to get 27 guys to all get on the same page with some of the guys, you know, the other whatever 60 guys you got on your roster. And I think it just goes back to, you know, to culture and building that cohesiveness. And, you know, I think going back to Indiana, you know, Mark Cuban was saying, hey, when you go out and spend money, you've got to do it strategically because everybody knows what everybody's making. Okay. So I know that, you know, all of us would be asking each other what we're making. And if you got two guys that are, you know, if you have a left tackle who has been established or better, and you bring in a right tackle and you pay him more, there's going to be animosity. So I don't know how they're doing that, but they have to make sure that they have that in order, and then they got to bring all these guys together and, you know, build a culture, build that identity. They got two linebackers who are really good, but they're young. So I don't know if the older guys are going to listen to the younger guys. So they have a lot of different things they got to deal with in order to go forward. So it's a big challenge.
Well, I'll stick to your one word.
I appreciate that, Derek. Thanks for playing by the rules.
Lot, I know.
Thoughts, man.
I'm a deep thinker, man. The stream of consciousness just keeps flowing.
He's passionate about his school, and I appreciate that about him.
I would use I'm anxious for a lot of different reasons. Number one, coming, you know, being a former offensive lineman, knowing what that unit means to really the core and foundation of what we do here at University of Wisconsin. You know, I'm reading a lot of, you know, quarterback, running backs, the DBs we've got, D linemen we've got. That's great, you know, but I know we got a couple offensive linemen. I think only one or two were starters. You know, there's a project from Arkansas, a young kid. That Ole Miss tackle wasn't starting, you know. There's a reason he's leaving. He's huge, you know, but I don't know really what we're getting. And so that's why I'm anxious. I think overall, I think there's going to be an upgrade personnel-wise, obviously. But I also know that we lost a lot of key core guys, incumbent Badgers that transferred. So to Tarek's point, the culture, the locker room, that's going to be on Coach Fickell and his staff to get that right, however they go about that. You know, it's super important. Because if you don't have that, you just got individuals out there. That's not how this game works.
All right, now, Coach, the big one we've been looking forward to. What's your one big thought for Wisconsin football here heading into the offseason?
Well, this is the job of the coaches. This is why they call you coach. You know, this is a job for the coaches. You've got transfers coming in. You've got new signees. You've got basically a new team. Really? You agree with that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
With all the new guys, they have to be able to create a team and build a sense of team within that group. And that's not easy to do. That's why, you know, that's why there are only so many guys that are winning championships. And so I put it on the coaches. I think it's on them to put this team put this group together, get them focused, and get them on the right track. Because it appears to me that our talent and our people are capable of competing in the league, and you know, that's what we want to see. That's what everybody wants to see, and that's what they want to see. So, you know, let's put this group together and get them focused on on being a team that we can all be proud of.
So I love that you say that, and you guys have all mentioned that when it comes to Indiana. It's not just about the money. It's about building a culture and being a team and having that entire team mentality going into a game with Mendoza leading the way. So, Coach, the rules were different. Obviously, it was a different time in college sports altogether, but when you came to Wisconsin, you did that. You built a team and a culture, and you established what this proud program became for multiple decades. What would you look to do this offseason if you were there leading this team? How would you go about building a team during an offseason so that they come out of the gates ready to go next year?
There's nothing I could tell you in the rest of this show that would explain what I would do. And I think these guys would verify that. But it's about having a plan that a staff would understand and that you could communicate with your team and the guys that came in. Once you had everybody together of what we're going to do, what our goals are, and how we're going to accomplish those goals, and what we're going to do in the offseason, going into spring practice, then we go into fall ball, even before you start the season. This is all these things we're going to do, and we're going to push you. But there's a reason for that, and this is our final goal, and this is what we want to accomplish.
And now, go ahead, Tom.
No, now we're kind of going into pro football almost, right? We get these big salaries.
It's more like pro football than ever before.
But, look at the franchises that are successful over time, like Baltimore, Green Bay, the Patriots. The Patriots had a little lull. They build culture and they build team and they do things the right way. Unlike, Dan Schneider and Jerry Jones, right? They buy the biggest guys. They think that, they're going to buy their way to a championship. And as Coach was alluding to earlier, you can't buy your way. It's just it doesn't matter how much money you have. If you can't build culture, you can't build the identity and a plan to move forward, evaluate the talent, bring in guys who are, both have talent and have the intangibles to lead the team. So I think that's the way you approach this thing.
There's a lot of ways, that really, really good head football coaches can go about this and creating this team cohesion. A lot of it's done internally in that locker room amongst the players themselves when they are in winter off-season strength and conditioning. When they are in summer strength and conditioning. Those are really when the players. Now, outside of that, coaches can go a lot of different routes. In the NFL, Jim Fossil had a long talk. He was friends with Dick Vermeil. And what Vermeil did with St. Louis, to the greatest show on turf, he would do things like have team bowling outings or golf outings or, barbecues at his house. And just to bring your wife, bring your kid, bring your families, and really get to know each other off all that work that you do together, because that's really where the bond's created. But then there's even more of a personal attachment there. And Fossil did the same thing. We did a river cruise in Manhattan. We did a pizza party for some deal outside in his yard. I mean, there was stuff like that where we could really, create other, interpersonal relationships other than just on the field and obviously working out together and everything else. And I think coaches can go about that, and they really have to, because it's like we talked about, it's a new team every year.
And did that matter to you guys as players?
Yeah, 100% it did. 100% it did.
Because I think it's interesting, we're hearing coach's perspective on building the culture. We hear Luke Fickell has a press conference tomorrow. He'll also be appearing on Wilde and Tausch at 10 a.m. on Thursday this week here on ESPN Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to be hearing plenty from Coach Fickell throughout the rest of this week. And there's, again, excitement.
What's your first question? What the hell were you doing the first 3 years?
I am not going to ask him that. I am probably not going to ask him anything. I'm going to be producing the show, making sure that he's on camera. let me ask you this. So he's meeting with the media tomorrow in a press conference setting, and then he is joining Wilde and Tausch on Thursday. What would you like to hear from Luke Fickell that would help you feel good and optimistic about what's to come for the 2026 Wisconsin football team?
I'd like to know, who's going to lead this team? Who are your leaders? Who's going to set the standard for going forward?
Okay.
Who are the leaders? Question. Great question there, Tarek.
Yeah.
That is a good question.
Finally, I got it.
I've been all season long
and wait for that bell to ring. Finally, Riley. Ta-da. I was going to fire you, Riley, until you did that.
It's a season finale. Everyone gets a ding today.
Give him a double ring, says Coach. All right, give him another one. Ah, keep him coming. Coach, if you were in Coach Fickell's shoes and you're coming back after, you know, we talked about looking back, it was a bit of a disappointing season, but you feel optimistic about what's to come for the new team that you have, the new leaders that are going to be in place for the coming season. What message would you want to be sharing with fans and supporters of the program here this offseason?
Well, I'd want to send a message to the fans, but the message I would send would be to the players first, because the players are going to listen. They're going to hear the message you're going to send to the fans. So you have to send a message out there to your fans that your players hear, that you're confident in them. And you feel you like the leadership. You like the direction of where the team is going and where we're going to be next year. But to me, it would be more important what the players heard than what the fans heard, because they're the ones that have to perform. They're the ones that have to believe it. And those are the ones you have to sell.
Yeah.
So that would be my message.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if I'm in Luke Fickell's shoes, you know, before this press conference, the one thing that I would be telling myself is be more definitive. Be more definitive. You lay out your plan and your goals. You know, not necessarily inside the halls, but, you know, to the media, to the fans, mm-hmm. they want something more concrete. You know, nothing vague, nothing, you know, you know, we don't want to hear about – I mean, obviously we have money. That's why we're getting players, right? But however that happened, we got it.
But how'd you evaluate those guys?
I don't want to hear about the schedule looks better. That's all I keep hearing about. We got Notre Dame. We got SC. By the way, Michigan State, did you see their donor? You don't think they're coming loaded? And Fitz is a good coach. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be loaded up. You got Iowa on the road. You got Penn State on the road. I mean, you know – we got some. It's tough to win, and it's even more tough now in the Big Ten than ever.
Coach Fickell,
no bells.
No bells for Derek. Only bells for Tarek.
I thought I would have gave you a bell.
Yeah. You know what, Derek? I thought that was the strongest statement of the night, and I am very upset that we didn't hear a bell or two.
Oh, you get a horn. The whole band he gets, yeah. So those are some of our thoughts here, looking back and looking ahead on Wisconsin football. Coach, I want to give you kind of the last word here on Wisconsin football, the state of the program here as we head into the offseason. The college football season comes to an end last night with Indiana winning the championship. Everyone points to Indiana and says that's the model, that's proof that any team can snap their fingers and have hope to turn things around.
Snap your fingers.
I mean, I heard Mark Tauscher saying it this morning on Wildy and Tauscher, our show in the morning from 9 to noon. He was saying, you know, what's great about this era of college football is that no matter who you are, Indiana is living proof that you can go from the doldrums, be the losingest college football team ever, and instantly make the right change, and you're winning a national title.
That's not how it works. So, you think there's a lot of spaghettis out there? Well, I mean, what?
Coach, you go ahead. You were about to chime in.
No, I think Indiana gave a lot of alums a lot of false hope. You know, it's not easy to particularly if you're a losing program. All of a sudden, and Indiana was a losing program for a long time. But all of a sudden, you get one guy in, or you have a year. All of a sudden, there's some magic wand that you can get there, throwing money around or Cuban money around or whatever. That just doesn't happen. So it takes a lot of hard work. It takes a lot of dedication. It takes money. It takes patience at times. But I like the direction our program's going. You know, I'm not going to talk about college football as a whole, but I like the coach we have in place. I like the direction we're going. I think we have a chance to be where we want to be.
Hey, there it is. I'm going to give it a little analogy here. Aaron Donald, right? He's like 6 feet, right? One of the best defensive linemen ever.
It's fantastic, right? Yeah. Hall of Famer.
Well, now there are a lot of coaches out there thinking they get to put a 5'11", 6-foot defensive lineman out there, and because he's twitchy, all of a sudden he's going to be a great player. Well, that's not the case. You know, Aaron Donald's a unique, special individual who put a lot of work in, is extremely strong, unbelievable flexibility and all those types of things. Same like Indiana, right? I mean, there's a lot of things that went into winning and what they did, and it's just not snap your fingers and, like, we're just going to build this unbelievable culture and bring all these pieces together. So it's hard, needless to say.
Yeah, remember, these are all three-star guys. They had only 7 four-star guys on that entire roster. Three-star and below.
Can I be honest? I thought that was Tarek's best analogy of the entire season. Well, and you've given us a few dandies out here. That was a good one.
Yeah, well, I prefer Riley's credits than yours. You have no credibility.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I appreciate it, man.
That's
thank
fair.
You.
All right, here I was going to say something nice for you in the final segment, and instead I'm going to find something to throw in your face.
I'm going to get a hug. I'm going to get a hug, man. Come on.
Yeah.
We will come back on the other side. We'll wrap up this season of the Barry Alvarez Show on ESPN Madison, and a couple of lingering questions, including for a former Badger who could find a new job in this state before the next couple of weeks are done. We'll talk
awesome.
About that coming up next to close out this season of the Barry Alvarez Show on ESPN Madison. Alvarez Show on ESPN Madison, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel. Who knows how this is going to end? It could be a big cliffhanger that we end going into our next season here. What are you guys chuckling about?
Oh, Riley did an unbelievable Trump impersonation.
That's great.
Riley Yauch is just
thank
having a night
you.
Back in
thank
the ever.
Thank you, everybody. The best show. It's a fantastic show. Love Derek. Love Tarek. Do the best. My favorite people. Thank you.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I am so glad we saved that for the final segment of this season.
Right,
let me tell you,
fantastic.
We need a 6-month break after that. All right. So here's one thing I wanted to ask you guys about. The Packers have a new vacancy at defensive coordinator. Jeff Hafley is the new head coach of the Miami Dolphins. There is a name circulating around the NFL that is an intriguing one looking to become a defensive coordinator. I don't know if you've heard of Jim Leonard, currently the assistant head coach, and he's a defensive assistant with the Denver Broncos. So here's the situation. Vance Joseph is the defensive coordinator of the Broncos. He was the D coordinator, became the head coach of the Broncos, didn't go well. He went back to being the D coordinator when Sean Payton came in, and it's been great. If he leaves to become a head coach elsewhere, it's expected that Leonard would get promoted to be the defensive coordinator in Denver. If Vance Joseph stays in Denver, Jim Leonard may look for other opportunities, including one that could exist for the Ravens, where he played, or
what about
Green
the Cowboys?
The Cowboys was one that he interviewed for already, yes. The other, the Green Bay Packers, could be intriguing to him. Now, there's a wrinkle there. First,
okay,
let's talk
going.
About... First, so the wrinkle is, a couple of years ago when they hired Jeff Hafley, Jim Leonard did speak with Matt LaFleur about, you know, the job and coming onto the staff, he kind of snubbed him and said, no, I don't really, I'm not really interested. And then that's how they ended up hiring other people. And so the question is, would Matt LaFleur hold any kind of a grudge after he got snubbed by Jim Leonard the first time around? And that's how they ended up with, I think it was Joe Barry got hired, and we know how that went for the Packers. Not great on defense. Would he hold a grudge and say, I'm not interested in bringing that guy in for an interview because he kind of snubbed me last time, rubbed me the wrong way by leading me on? Or would you bury that hatchet and say, this is the best candidate, this is a guy who wants to be here, let's bring him in, we know he's good at this?
Well, I'd definitely bring Jimmy Leonard in. You know what I mean? He's the dude, man. He's done a great job with that secondary in Denver. His whole career has been a success. And, you know, if LaFleur doesn't spend so much time waxing his eyebrows, spend more time just working on coaching, and, you know, he'll make the right decision.
There it is. We're letting it all fly here in the final segment. Derek?
Yeah, I think
more bells.
You go, ring that bell, Donald.
I think Green Bay's got all the leverage, you know, because they know that Jim would be back here in a second because of his family. You know, it's a lot easier to drive 2.5 hours or whatever it is to Madison, Cross Plains, you know, versus being out in Denver. And, you know, that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. That's a really big deal. So they have the leverage there. Whether or not you pose an interesting question on LaFleur maybe having some type of, you know, I don't know how that all went down or what went down.
And but, I don't know if all of us know the specifics. Yeah, we don't really know. But we just know he interviewed, and that's the guy they wanted, and it didn't work out.
If you're a good head coach, you don't give a – I mean, you look at who's the best candidate and who would be the best fit for your team. I'm not worried about, it was a bad timing for him a few years back or whatever. I mean, that's just me.
Well, I know a head coach we could ask about that decision-making process. Coach, how would you look at that if you're Matt LaFleur with the Packers?
If I'm Matt LaFleur, I'd go get the best coach I could get, and that's Jimmy Leonard. I think everybody's recognized his ability. They respect what he's accomplished, his knowledge. If you can get Jimmy Leonard, they need to go get him.
I like it.
Yeah,
I
like it. Fires me up. Yeah, okay, like let's do it.
End of story.
All right.
That is how we close the chapter on the Barry Alvarez show here for the 2025 college football
season. You got LaFleur's number? Text it to Coach.
And I know how I can get it to him.
And the deal will be done.
I know how I can get it to him.
By the time we get our steak.
All right, so that's it. That's it for the season. And if I may just share a word or two here as we get set to go, this has been an amazing ride this year. So we started the season out at a golf outing in August. I said it would be my job this year to make sure that we cover the team, the Wisconsin Badgers, and college football as a whole fairly, and that we provide the proper critique and that we provide the right insights that you, all three of you, can uniquely provide. Coach Alvarez, especially with his name being on this show and you guys being a large part of this as well. I think we did that this year. I'm really proud of what we have done throughout the course of this season.
It seems like yesterday we were moving from outside at Nakoma for the Gilders Club.
Oh, yeah.
For the Gilders Club golf outing to inside.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's
time
flies. Seems like yesterday.
But, between coming out here to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, car rides down to the Hard Rock Casino Rockford, and everything in between, this was a really intriguing season.
Done a nice job. I hope we've done a good job of informing our listeners, giving them some insight. Our insight and our opinions of what's going on. And we've been very honest and open with it. And so I hope they appreciate it.
I hope they do. I think they do. And I appreciate you guys for providing that honesty throughout the course of the season.
I'm waiting for my report card from the athletic department, so we'll see how we did.
Jesse,
had to say it.
Thank you for everything you've done, man.
I appreciate that. Thanks.
I don't give you too much praise, but I'll do it this time.
This has been a ton of fun. I appreciate
you guys.
I'm
getting emotional right now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That means he's getting thirsty. So we're going to go over
there
to the bar.
There you go. And hungry.
For Tarek, for Derek, Coach Alvarez, it's been a pleasure all season long. Look forward to doing it again next year. My name is Jesse Nelson.
Fired up.
And this has been the Barry Alvarez Show on ESPN Madison. We'll see you in the off season sometime.